encourage you to turn to Romans chapter 6. I don't break stride from verse by verse exposition very often. We've been going through John's gospel and we're getting towards the end, but today's a members meeting and we will allow those of you who are not members and don't want to stay for the members meeting after this service, we'll allow you a chance to depart if you want. You won't offend us at all by that. But if you're thinking about membership here, probably encourage you to stay so you can just kind of see what happens at these members meetings and how we do this. But it's always a challenge to me to, we have to shorten things up to make room for the members meeting. And so I think going forward, the next several members meetings anyway, I just want to take a verse and remind you of the gospel. And I hope and trust you hear the gospel if you're listening every single week from the expositions. But really just want to tighten it up and remind you of this great message that saves sinners, the gospel. Romans 6, focus on verse 23. I hope the vast majority of you have this verse memorized. Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Father God, thank you for clarity. I pray that you'll give me the grace not to muddy waters that you have made crystal clear. And will you save a sinner today, O God? Will you grant the free gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord? For your sake, for your glory alone. Fill me now with your spirit, that Christ might be exalted. Amen. The gospel is about life or death. If you wonder what's at stake here for your own soul, it's life or it's death. If you wonder what's on the line when you sit in a coffee shop with an unbelieving neighbor or friend or coworker, it's life or death. The gospel is the gospel of life or death. If you're here and you are not in Christ Jesus our Lord, you see that phrase in our verse? Eternal life is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You must be united to Him by grace through faith. If you're not in Christ Jesus our Lord, then I want you to know, on the authority of the Word of God, you are a walking dead man. You're a walking dead woman. If you've not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ savingly. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, that sounds like bad news. I thought the gospel was good news. Indeed, the gospel means, the word gospel from the Greek means good news or blessed message. Probably everyone in here knows that. But this message, if we went back to Romans chapter 1, you would see Paul right off the bat says this message of the gospel is God's message. It's the gospel of God. It's about God primarily, and it's His message that comes from Him. It's a self-revelation of God. So we don't toy with it. We don't need to tweak it. We don't need to make it more palatable. We give it as it has been given from God Himself. It's God's gospel revealing who He is and who we are. And then our desperate need of a Savior. God is good and holy and righteous and just and so many other things He reveals to us in the Scripture and in this message called the gospel. He is righteous and holy and just beyond our wildest imagination. And we, you and me, we're none of those things. The Pope did not represent the gospel well recently, as our pastor last Sunday night reminded us, Pastor Brandon, as he preached. The Pope said we're all good at heart. Well, Romans chapter 3 and the Psalms that it's quoting says there's none good, no, not one. So who are you going to believe, God or the Pope? I'll take God. I'll believe what God says about me. God is a perfect doctor. And in the gospel, he perfectly diagnoses us. He knows the disease that we have perfectly. And that disease has only one cure. And God, being the perfect doctor, prescribes the one and only perfect cure, the righteous, sinless Son of the living God, Christ Jesus, our Lord. You see, the good news is so good because the bad news is so bad. For the wages of sin is death. That's the bad news. The wages of sin is death. Our first ancestors, Adam and Eve, we call them, they rebelled against God's good rule. They besmirched God's good character. They wanted to be their own gods. They wanted to rule their own lives. They thought they knew better than God. When they disobeyed, God had already told them, disobey, you will die. They entered the realm of death instantly, spiritually dead. And then one day their bodies caught up with their spirits, assuming they weren't saved. I think they both were by God's grace. But the point is, death in the Bible is both physical and spiritual. The wages of sin is death. It's not just physical death. It is a spiritual death. We are sinners by nature. Adam and Eve sinned, and their guilt was rightly credited to their posterity, all the human race. That's Romans 5, if you went back and read that. And they imparted their nature, because that's just kind of the rule, isn't it? Dogs have puppies. Cats have kittens. Humans have baby little cute sinners. They're cute, but they're sinners. If you don't believe that we're sinners by nature and by choice, it's both are true, but if you don't believe we make the choices we make, Jesus said you do what you do because your heart's defiled. Your will is the problem. You're corrupt on the inside, and that always works itself to the outside. And if you don't believe the gospel, you don't believe God's diagnosis that you're not actually good at heart. You're actually spiritually dead and cut off and rebellious at heart. If you don't believe that's your very nature, then just go find a 2-year-old, there are plenty of them around, and start telling him or her no. See how that goes. Just smack the 2-year-old hand, no, no. See how they respond. Their nature is to be their own Lord, be their own God, to reject all rightful rule and authority over them. And that's the nature we come into the world with. In Psalm 51, David said that he knew his transgressions in verse 3 and that his sin, singular, was ever before him. He's giving you right doctrine there. He commits transgressions because of his nature. He knows his nature, it's ever before him, and he's also then aware of the individual acts of sin that he commits. He goes on in that psalm and says, he was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. From the very womb, you see, it's his nature. And that has a wage. Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is death. A wage is something you earn, something, it's a just due. It's a reward. So if you want to know, what is my reward? If I use my own wit, will, wisdom, and works, what would be my reward from God? Death. That's Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. That's a wage we're all sure to earn. Physical death, but also spiritually being dead. Ephesians 2:1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Sin cuts us off from God. Isaiah 59:2. 59:1 says, God's hand is not so short that it cannot save. And then verse 2 says, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have caused him to hide his face from you so that he will not hear. This is the bad news of the gospel. Sin kills us spiritually, cuts us off from God. It enslaves us. Romans 6:20 says, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. In other words, you had no claim on righteousness, nor did you care when you were dominated by sin. But what fruit, it says, were you getting at the time? from the things of which you are now ashamed. For the end of those things is death. The wages of sin is death. But, well, hallelujah for those divine grace words. Three-letter, B-U-T. And there's a grace side of the equation. There's good news. If God left us with the bad news, and he rightly could do so, he owes salvation to no man, but he gives a good news side of the equation. There's a free gift. There's a free gift being held out to you today. And it is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. God's cure is all of grace. It's a free gift, the text says. It's free to you because Jesus already paid for it. He paid for it with his righteous, sinless life. He lived a life none of us could. He pleased God in every single way. At his baptism, the Father boomed out from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And in John's gospel, we've learned that Jesus even claimed, "I always do what pleases the Father." So his righteousness satisfies the law, every bit of it, fulfilled in him. And he presents himself then as a willing sacrifice in the place of his sinful people. What an exchange. He made him who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made Jesus who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's both sides of the gospel, you see. The good news is so good because the bad news is so bad. But isn't the good news glorious? There's a free gift. It's the righteous life of Christ. It's the substitutionary death where he bore the wrath of God. He earned our wage. We earned the wage, but he took it, I should say. We earned the wage, but he paid for it. He bore the wrath of God. Cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Even spiritual death. He's enduring it all on the cross for us. And he rose, Romans chapter 4 says, for our justification, so that we could be declared righteous forever by God. His risen, righteous, resurrection life, totally credited to our account. Adam's guilt and filth and shame, credited. But by faith in the free gift, you can have Christ's righteousness credited to your account. It's a free gift that's already been paid for in full by Jesus. Grace is held out to you today. Romans 6:22 says, but now that you have been set free from sin, you have become slaves or servants of God, the fruit that you get leads to sanctification, a holiness, and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, in Christ Jesus our Lord. You came into this world in Adam. Oh, I'm praying God will turn your heart today and you'll believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be united to him by faith, and that you'll live the rest of your days in Christ, the second Adam. Came to set everything right. May God help you repent of your sin and believe in him today. And if you wonder what's on the line here in this short little message I just gave to you, everlasting death and the lake of fire. If you gave me more time, I could fill in all of that for you scripturally. That's what's on the line. The wages of sin is death, and the Bible says that means everlasting death. Death that never actually dies in a lake of fire. The stakes could not be higher for you, men, women, boys, and girls. But the free gift is everlasting life. The life of God and life with God in Christ Jesus our Lord forever. And ever. The gospel is life or death. What will it be for you today? God, save. Save sinners. for your glory. Amen. Before we turn our attention to calling ourselves to order for the members' meeting, look up here. I want to make sure you hear what I'm about to say. If you know you need to be saved, or if you've been saved recently, or if even today your heart is convicted that you're a sinner headed for death, and you want to turn and trust Christ, and you want to let us know that you've done that, or you want to know more about that, stick around. Find a pastor. In fact, I'm going to ask Pastor Rick, just go ahead and hit the foyer for those who might be dismissing themselves if you're a guest here. But even if you're a regular and you're going to stay, please come find us before the service ends. Don't leave with something on your heart that you know we need to pray with you about or counsel you in, okay?